want to direct your attention just back to one verse that we read a moment ago. You don't need to turn back to it, because once I quote it, you'll remember it. It's Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. There's really no excuse for anybody to say they can't memorize Bible verses. Amen? Everybody ought to know John 11:35. Somebody tell me that. Jesus wept. Here's another one everybody ought to know. Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. You know, there are certain people in my life, when they tell me to do something, I try to listen, I try to do it. When my dad was still alive, regardless of how old I was or how old he was, and I can't always say I did this when I was a kid, but I learned it paid dividends if you just did it. If you just listened to your dad and did what he said. And so my dad's gone now, but when he was alive, even when he was 80, 85, 86 years old, if he told me to do something, I tried to listen and do it. When I had a pastor, I tried to listen to him and for the most part do what he told me to do. When I was married, when my wife was still alive, I tried to listen to her and do what she told me to do. Now, I wasn't as successful in that relationship as I was in the one with my dad and with my pastor. And I used to spend a lot of time worrying about that until I remembered that the first two men recorded in history that listened to their wives got into trouble. Amen. I'm glad I could get an amen out of you this morning, Bill. Adam listened to Eve and ate the fruit and got them kicked out of their home. Abraham listened to Sarah, went into Hagar and had Ishmael, and the world's been at war ever since. And so I didn't worry. I still tried to listen and do what Debbie said, but I didn't worry about it as much when I couldn't do it after I realized that fact. But listen, when Jesus tells us to do something, we ought to listen and, for the most part, do our best to do it. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that being a disciple is having a relationship with him and being obedient to the Father's will as he was. And so when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, here in Luke chapter 17, he was talking about the end of time. Yeah, he compared it to the days of Noah. He compared it to the days of Lot in Sodom. And he said that's how sudden the end of time is going to come. His point was, if you're going to get ready, you need to get ready now. You can't wait, because you never know when it's going to come. And so as part of that teaching, as part of that preaching, he made the statement, remember Lot's wife. I ran across that scripture, and when I did and got to thinking about it, I got my concordance down, and I looked up every scripture that mentioned Lot. There's actually 37 verses in the Bible that mention the name Lot. In those 37 verses, we learn that his dad's name was Haran, H-A-R-A-N. He was Abraham's nephew. His dad died, so he was raised by his uncle Abraham. When God called Abraham, or Abram, to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that God was going to show him, Lot went with Uncle Abraham. I mean, God didn't call Lot, but because he was one of Abram's sons, so to speak, he's been raised by his uncle, he went with him. And it was through his uncle's influence that Lot had a relationship with the Lord. We read about it in 2 Peter. There's verses in 2 Peter that call Lot just, that call him a righteous man, that said that he had a righteous soul. And so it was because of the influence of his uncle that he came to know God in a way that God decreed him righteous. It was also because of his uncle's influence that he was blessed. He was blessed materially. God blessed Abraham because he was obedient. And as God blessed Abraham, some of that blessing just sort of overflowed and fell on Lot. And so that's why we need to be careful about who we spend our time with, who we make our best friends with, because you want to have friends that, as God is blessing them, that you are there to catch the overflow. Now, you want to be the kind of person that they can say that about you too, that you're obedient to God, that you're trying to do God's will, and God's blessing around, God's blessing you. And if other people spend time with you, they can catch some of the overflow. And isn't it a wonderful thing to have Christian friends, to have Christian folks that we can spend time with, that as God blesses them, we get to catch some of the overflow and catch the blessings of God. Well, that's what happened a lot. He was blessed by God because of his uncle. Now, we go on. Those other verses tell us that there was a controversy between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. They both had a large number of animals. The ground, the pastures couldn't support them both. And so they made the decision to separate their households, to put some distance between themselves. And Abraham, even though he was the oldest and by all rights should have made the choice which land he had and which land Lot had, he gave Lot that choice. He said, no, Lot, you choose. Whichever direction you want to go, I'll go the opposite direction. Now, if Lot was wise at all, if he had any wisdom at all, he should have turned to his uncle and said, no, I don't want to choose. You're a lot smarter than I am. You're a lot wiser than I am. Your walk with the Lord is a lot closer than mine. You make the decision, and whatever land you take, I'll go in the opposite direction. But the Bible says that Lot wasn't, well, it doesn't say it, but he wasn't wise. You can tell that by what he did. The Bible says he looked around at all the land that was around him, and he picked the land that looked the best. He picked the well-watered plains that were in the direction of this city called Sodom, and he says, Uncle, I'll take this direction. And Abraham said, okay, you take that direction, and I'll go in the opposite direction. That was the beginning of Lot's downfall. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was a wicked city. Sodom was a city that God was going to judge. You know the story. I'll talk about it in a little bit. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next thing we find out, he's living in Sodom. And a couple kings come and take Sodom captive and take Lot captive. As they take the city of Sodom captive, Abraham arms his household and comes and rescues the city, because he wants to rescue his nephew. And so Lot is part of the city that's rescued. And then the next thing we read about Lot is the angels coming into the city of Sodom with the warning that they're going to destroy the city, that he and his family needs to get out. He goes and warns his married daughters and his sons-in-law. They think he's a fool, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so the angels grab Lot, they grab his wife, they grab his two unmarried daughters, and they pull them outside the city, and God destroys the city. And then the last thing we read about Lot is the terrible sin of incest that he committed with his two daughters. He was drunk. A lot of people say, well, you can't blame him. We shouldn't have gotten drunk in the first place. And so that's the history that we read of Lot. All those verses, his wife is only mentioned three times. She's mentioned when the angels laid hold of her to pull her out of the city. She's mentioned when she turns back. The angels warned him, don't look back. I'm taking, getting you out of this destruction. Don't look back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And then the only other time she's mentioned in the Bible is here in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, where Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now, again, if Jesus says we ought to remember her, then we ought to remember her. Again, we ought to remember in the context of what Jesus was teaching, that the end day is going to come suddenly, and that we need to be ready for that end time. But there's some other things that I think Lot's wife reminds us of. And as we remember her, these things ought to come to mind. Just so happens there's three of them. I have a three-point sermon. There's three things I think we ought to remember as we remember Lot's wife. Number one, judgment is sure. Judgment for sin is sure. A lot of people living in the world today think they can do anything they want and that there's going to be no repercussions. I wish somehow we could get the word to those people. Yeah, judgment is coming. You can count on it. It may look like it's a far distance away, but it could come at any moment. Judgment is sure. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, in verse 13 of chapter 19, we will destroy this place. Jesus said, I want you to remember Lot's wife. I want you to remember that sin will be judged, sin will be punished. The Bible teaches us this over and over. I mean, how can anybody that reads the Bible think that God doesn't judge sin? God judges sin. Starts out in the very first book of the Bible. Adam, don't eat the fruit. In the day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Adam eats the fruit. What do you think happens? He is judged by God and expelled from the Garden of Eden. Again, he died, not died physically. That was going to happen later, but he died spiritually. He was separated from his creator. He was separated from his God because of his sin. Judgment will come. In Numbers chapter 32, the Bible says, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I mean, it's funny to me. There's people that still live in the world today that think they can sin and that God doesn't see it. They think they're hiding their sin from God. And listen, you don't hide anything from God. Even the sin that takes place in our minds, even the sin that takes place in our attitudes that maybe nobody else knows, that God can still see that and God will judge that sin. David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery, committed murder. He thought he could cover it up. He devised a plan to cover it up. Invited Uriah back and thought that if he would go home and be with his wife, that he would think that the little baby that Bathsheba had would be her husband's. But Uriah was an honorable man. He said, I'm not going to go home and be with my wife when the army's in the field fighting the battle. And David ended up having to kill him. He thought he could cover up his sin. I want to tell you something this morning. We cannot cover up our sin. It is just as futile for us to try to cover our sin as it was for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness with the leaves in the Garden of Eden. We cannot cover our sin. God sees it and God will judge it. You can write it down. You can put it in the book. It is a sure thing. Judgment will come. Sodom was a wicked city. The people lived in Sodom. They were doing whatever they wanted to. There were no restraints. They had no fear of God. They were not worried about judgment. In Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. One of the worst sins in the city of Sodom is a sin that is called by the name of the city today, sodomy. Homosexuality, men with men, women with women. Listen, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. Homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God, and he will judge that sin. We think just because we've made it legal, just because the highest court in the land has ruled that it's okay with God. It is not okay with God. Man's laws cannot change the laws of this book. It is an abomination in the eyes of God, and he will judge it. Look, it was wrong before the law. Sodom happened before the law was given to Moses. Homosexuality was wrong. It's wrong in the law. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They will surely be put to death. And it's wrong after the law. The book of Romans talks about it in the first chapter. Again, we think it's okay. Not us, but the world thinks it's okay. Say, hey, the Supreme Court has ruled. Well, look, the Supreme Court does not have the mind of God. At least half of them didn't. They did not have the mind of God. God says it's a sin. He's going to judge that sin. Sodom, the city of Sodom, is mentioned 27 more times in the Bible after the book of Genesis. And every time the city of Sodom is mentioned in the scriptures, this idea of their sin and God's judgment is linked. Every time it's mentioned, judgment, sin and judgment are linked. Isaiah, they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have recorded evil unto themselves. Lamentations. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown in a moment and no hand stayed on her. Jude, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You remember that sin's going to be judged. Sin's going to be punished. I read that verse about Sodom. Reminds me of the world that we live in today. The world says, you can do whatever you want. You don't need to worry about judgment. You don't need to worry about God coming after you. God's a God of love. He won't punish anybody. He won't send anybody to hell. He won't punish sin. Look, this world needs to know that God has not changed. God will judge sin. God will punish sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If you're here today and you're not saved, don't think you're going to get off. Don't think that God's going to overlook your sin. Don't think that because God's a loving God that he won't send you to hell for all eternity because of that sin. That's exactly what this book says. There is no exception. There is no going to hell and getting out of it. It's an eternal punishment for sin. And don't think you're going to get out of it just because of what the world says. God will judge sin. Remember Lot's wife. Judgment is sure. Now, I know most of us are here this morning. We're saved. We're a child of God. We're a member of the kingdom of God. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. I'll remind you this morning, even for a Christian, this is something we need to remember. God punishes sin. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he punishes. So you can't continue in sin and think you're going to get by with it. You can't continue in sin and think God's going to overlook it. Sooner or later, when I was growing up, when I did something wrong, I knew, if nobody else saw it, if nobody else was aware of it, I knew I was going to get it. I had two brothers that just loved to tell. My dad. I had a mother who loved to tell my dad. I'm not going to tell you that. Judgment is sure. Number two, God always provides a way of escape. From that judgment, he always provides a way of escape. I'm going to make the story short for the sake of time this morning. God was on his way to Sodom to destroy the city because of their sin. He stops by to see Abraham. He's going to tell Abraham what's he about to do. Abraham knew his nephew lived in the city. Abraham said to God, God, you're a righteous God. What if you find 50 people in Sodom? What if you find 50 people in Sodom that are righteous? Will you destroy those 50 people as you destroy the city? God said, no, if I find 50 people, I won't destroy the city. Abraham says, what if there's only five missing? What if there's 45? God says, if I find 45, I'll spare the city. Abraham says, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What if there's only 10? 10 righteous people in Sodom. Will you destroy those 10 righteous people with the wicked? And God said, no, if I find 10 righteous people, I'll spare Sodom. I think God had Abraham in mind when he had Ezekiel pen that verse that I talked about a couple weeks ago. God was looking for a man to stand in the gap to save the land. He thought about the time Abraham stood before him and begged for the life of his nephew and his family. 10 people, that's all it would take to save the city. 10 people. Should have been easy for Lot to get 10 people. You see, when his uncle Abraham came and rescued the city, there was 16 years that passed between that and when Sodom was destroyed. 16 years. Now, just think. His uncle rescued the city. They gave Lot a position of prominence in the city. In fact, when the angels came to the city, they found Lot sitting in the gate where the rulers or the leaders of the city sat. So he had influence in the city. He had a household of servants. When Abraham went to rescue Lot, the Bible says he armed 318 of his men servants and went to fight the kings that had taken the city captive. If Abraham had 318, it's very easily for me to conceive that Lot had at least 50 men and women that were his servants in his household. All he needed was to turn 10 to God. I mean, 10 from the city where he had influence, 10 from his household where he had more influence. Most Bible scholars think that Lot and Mrs. Lot had 5 daughters. 3 of them were married. 2 of them were still single at home. So you have Lot, Mrs. Lot, their 2 single daughters, their 3 married daughters, and their 3 son-in-laws. 10 people. If Lot would have just brought his family to the Lord, he would have saved the whole city. But he didn't. He didn't influence his city. He didn't influence the people that worked for him. He didn't even influence his family. See, God always makes a way of escape. When the angels came, when God came, hey, I didn't find 10 righteous people. He destroyed the city. But here's what he did. And we read it a moment ago. The angels took Lot. They took his wife. They took his 2 unmarried daughters, and they pulled them out of the city. They said, we cannot destroy the city. God won't let us destroy the city until we get you out. God always makes a way of escape. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we could not do on our own and pay for our sin, God did for us by sending his son to die in our place on Calvary. I'm a sinner this morning. You're a sinner this morning. We deserve the punishment of sin to be separated from God. But Jesus paid that penalty for us. He paid the punishment for us to provide us a way of escape from the sure judgment of God. He always makes a way of escape. Even for the Christian, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we got to do is ask for his forgiveness. By the way, it's not ask for his forgiveness and do it again and then ask for his forgiveness and do it again. It means ask for his forgiveness and never do it again. Or try not to do it again. Judgment is sure. God always makes a way of escape. Number 3, my last point. The choice to take that way of escape is always ours. God never forces that on any person. He never forces anybody to get saved. He never forces anybody to come to Christ. He never forces anybody to be a Christian. It's a gift that he makes available to every person. That's why he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's our choice. I got to tell Tammy, I got to tell Angie, wherever Nick is, and I got to tell Josh and Claire, I told on Gabe in Sunday school this morning. If you weren't in Sunday school, they were all over at Tammy's house. Lydia was showing Gabe, their little boy, her chickens. The story that I heard is when Nick and Angie got there, they heard a commotion in the backyard and thought everybody was in the backyard. And Gabe was out there and had one of Lydia's chickens going like this. Had him by the legs. And I don't know who it was, Nick or Angie, said, Gabe, put that chicken down. And Gabe went, and I don't know who it was, but somebody came out. I don't know if you guys were teaching Gabe this or you. Somebody said it. Bad choice, bad choice, bad choice. Gabe, you made a bad choice picking up that chicken. You made a bad choice slamming it to the ground. You see, we make choices. And as we talked about in Sunday school, there's always consequences for those choices. Always consequences. We may think we make a choice and there's no repercussions, there's no consequences, there's no results. There's always a result. There's always a consequence. You see, the choice to take the way of escape is ours. We can decide whether we receive Christ or whether we reject him. We get to decide. God left that up to us. I wish it was different. I there's people in my life, I wish I can make that decision for them. I wish I could decide to receive Christ for them. And there's people in your life that you probably wish you could do the same thing for, but God didn't set it up that way. He left it up to the individual. We have free will. We get to choose. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, would you choose Jesus Christ? The gate may be straight, and the way may be narrow, but it leads to life. The world says there's lots of ways to get to God, and so they present a wide gate, and they present a broad way, but Jesus said all those lead to destruction. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Would you make that choice this morning? I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen Gabe swinging that chicken. I told everybody, he's a boy's boy. But how, and we laugh, and it's funny. But how sad it's going to be. How sad it is to think about people that have made the bad choice to reject Jesus Christ as their Savior and know where they're headed forever. They're headed to hell forever. They can choose Jesus. You can choose Jesus this morning. Would you do that? If you're here and you've never received him, would you do that? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this little instruction. Three words: remember Lot's wife. Help us to remember that judgment is sure, that sin will be judged. There's no way that we can escape it. But you give us a way of escape, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that are here this morning that's never received him. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make it clear and plain in their mind that they're a sinner, that they stand under your condemnation, that the only hope that they have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning you'll help them to make that decision, a good decision, to receive him. I pray for the many Christians that are here this morning. Father, help us to realize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to realize that you want us to walk that straight and narrow way. That sometimes we get off of it and sometimes we sin, but that you've provided a way of escape for us, and that's to confess our sins. And if there are folks here this morning that need to come to this altar and do that, I pray you'd help them do that. Help them make that decision to take the way of escape that you provided. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.